and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. If you can understand me, I'm Lita.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie. And Lita had dental surgery, cataract surgery, another cataract surgery, gallbladder surgery, fund application, I think a Nielsen fund application, and
that's it.
Okay.
So we're surprised she's even here.
Yes.
Part of me's here.
Okay.
But collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we will be talking about psoriasis.
Ah, the question of the hour is, what is psoriasis?
I know it's a condition that I also often see commercials for.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And actually, I was on a plane with one of their spokespeople for a psoriasis medication. It was ever so exciting. According to the Mayo Clinic, psoriasis is a skin disease that causes red, itchy, scaly patches, most commonly on the knees, elbows, trunk, and scalp.
Trunk, like an elephant?
Less elephant trunk, more the central part of the body.
Oh, like
between
stomach.
Your head
okay.
And your legs.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Psoriasis is common, long-term or chronic, and there is no cure. It tends to go through different cycles, flaring for a few weeks or months, and then subsiding for a while or going into remission. Treatments are available to help you manage symptoms, and you can incorporate lifestyle habits and coping strategies to help you live a better, more comfortable life with psoriasis.
Oh. And Ron, did I read somewhere that there are different types of psoriasis?
Why, yes, you did. You probably read that on the Mayo Clinic's website as well. There are different types of psoriasis. You have plaque psoriasis, which is the most common form. Plaque psoriasis causes dry, raised, red skin patches, also called lesions, covered with silvery scales. The plaques might be itchy or tender, and there may be few or you may get a lot of them. And typically they appear on, as Jean mentioned, on the elbows, knees, the lower back, and also on the scalp. There's also nail psoriasis, which can affect fingernails and toenails, causes pitting, abnormal nail growth, and discoloration. Psoriatic nails might loosen and separate from the nail bed, which is called... Onchocolitis?
What do you think, Jean?
Why me?
I don't know.
Okay.
Onchocolitis.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a very uncomfortable situation.
Okay.
Okay.
Separate from the nails. All right.
Yes.
Oh, that is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Then there's also guttate psoriasis. This type primarily affects young adults and children, and it's usually triggered by a bacterial infection such as strep throat.
Oh.
I know.
Hmm.
It's marked by small, drop-shaped, scaling lesions on the trunk, arms, or legs. There's also inverse psoriasis, which mainly affects the skin folds of the groin, buttocks, and breasts. Inverse psoriasis causes smooth patches of red skin that worsen with friction and sweating. Fungal infections may trigger this type of psoriasis. I think that one's kind of common with young kids, no?
Really?
Yeah, especially ones playing sports.
Sports? Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
With sweating and all of that.
I know the one, I've heard about plaque psoriasis, which I think, you know, like you said, it's the most common one.
Yeah.
But these other ones I hadn't really even heard of, and they just sound like really... I mean, your skin is such a large organ.
Right.
And it sounds...
But I think that's what the topical creams are for.
Okay, okay. Well, I know the topical, for fungal infections.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, I know with my son, you know, he had gone to the doctor for, and I think it was the inverse psoriasis, mm-hmm. and it was from sweating.
Oh, yeah. 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 So. And I think after you perspire heavily, you have to shower and make mm-hmm. sure you dry
exactly.
really well.
Right.
I know runners use some kind of a deodorant.
It looks like a deodorant, but it's
like a deodorant. Mm-hmm.
It's to reduce friction.
Right.
Okay. The next one we're going to talk about is pustular psoriasis. This is a rare form of psoriasis, and it causes clearly defined pus-filled lesions that occur in widespread patches. Generalized pustular psoriasis. or in smaller areas on the palms of the hands or the soles of the feet.
And it's rare to have anything.
I didn't know that.
And the soles of the feet.
Soles of the feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Bear with me with this next one. Erythrodermic psoriasis, which happens to be the least common type of psoriasis. And it can cover your entire body.
Oh.
I know, that sounds painful right there.
Yeah.
It can cover your entire body with a red peeling rash that can itch or burn intensely.
Oh, my God. Those poor people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Distraction, distraction, distraction.
Or lay in a pool of Jell-O.
Well, I guess definitely consult
with your doctor.
Your healthcare professional and look online and see what other people are doing and ask your physician if it might work for you as well. Because, yeah, you want to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they all look, you know, pretty bad, but
yeah,
that
whole
one
body,
just, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one is psoriatic arthritis, which causes swollen, painful joints that are typical of arthritis. Uh-huh. Sometimes the joint systems are the first or only symptoms or sign of psoriasis, but at times only nail changes are seen. Symptoms can range from mild to severe, and psoriatic arthritis can affect any of your joints. It can cause stiffness and progressive joint damages that, in the most serious cases, may lead to permanent joint damage. But now I've got a question.
Okay.
After reading all that, do we know if psoriasis can be prevented?
Well, psoriasis is thought to be an immune system problem that causes the skin to regenerate at faster than normal rates. And in the most common type of psoriasis, which is the plaque psoriasis, that rapid turnover of cells results in scales and red patches. But just what causes the immune system to malfunction isn't really clear. Researchers believe that both genetics and environmental factors may play a role. It's not contagious, which is good to know. And I got that information from the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah, and I guess it's another area in medicine that people can still, you know, there's so much we don't know.
So all the commercials we see for all the...
Where girls just want to have fun.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically just, it's not preventative, it's just...
Treatment.
Yeah. So that you have greater time in between
flares,
and then also, to help reduce the plaques.
Hmm. Okay.
Gosh, yeah. It does sound uncomfortable, and you need a lot of... distractions from that. So what symptoms usually send someone seeking health care regarding psoriasis?
The Mayo Clinic says that psoriasis signs and symptoms can vary from person to person.
Okay.
But common signs and symptoms include red patches of skin covered with thick silvery scales.
And that sounds pretty, but...
it's probably not.
Okay.
Also, they could have small scaling spots that would be often seen in, or commonly seen in children. Dry, cracked skin that may bleed or itch. Gee, Jean.
What?
You have dry, cracked.
Mine has to do with... my hands are dry and cracked, but it's
It could be the season.
It's seasonal and collagen related.
Okay. Itching, burning, or soreness. Thickened or pitted or rigid nails. Oh, yeah, we were talking about the nail psoriasis.
Mm-hmm.
And swollen or stiff joints. But, you know, when you have swollen or stiff joints, you're thinking about regular arthritis. You don't think about psoriasis.
That's why you don't self-diagnose. You go to a healthcare professional.
Oh, that's why Mayo Clinic says to go see your doctor.
Yes, and we do too.
Highly recommend. Psoriasis patches, which are like spots, they can be a few spots like spots of dandruff like scaling or major eruptions that cover large areas, like we were saying, the whole body. The most commonly affected areas are the lower back, that would be the trunk, elbows, knees, legs, soles of the feet. God, that sounds the worst, I think. Scalp, face, and palms. Most types of psoriasis go through cycles, like they were saying earlier. Flaring may last from a few weeks to a few months, and then subsiding from a time and going into remission.
Wow. You know, I've got a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got something going on. you go to your doctor, how is it diagnosed? What do the doctors do to say, hey, you've got such and such type of psoriasis?
You know, the doctor has to just do the exam and look at the skin's nail and scalp. And I guess the doctor knows what they're looking for. There's no blood test or anything.
No,
it's just,
okay.
It's just a visual exam.
Visual, okay.
And how is psoriasis treated?
The Psoriasis Foundation lists four ways that is currently being treated. Topicals, you know, like a cream that mm-hmm. you put on. Phototherapy, biologics, and oral treatments. And complementary and integrative medicine.
Oh, please tell us about these.
I will. I was hoping that you'd ask. Topical treatments are medications that are applied to the skin, typically are the first line of defense when treating psoriasis. These are probably the ones that are advertised on TV, right?
Right?
I think there's also some oral medications.
Oh, okay. Topicals slow down or normalize excessive cell reproduction and reduce inflammation caused by psoriasis. Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several effective topical treatments for psoriasis, which can be purchased over the counter. However, some topicals are only available by prescription from your healthcare provider. The most frequent treatment for option for psoriasis is topical steroids, which are derived from the natural corticosteroid hormones produced by the adrenal glands. Corticosteroids control inflammatory responses in the body, among other important functions, making them an ideal anti-inflammatory agent to reduce swelling and redness caused by the plaques. A mild topical corticosteroid may be available over the counter, but others will require a prescription from your healthcare provider. There are also some newer treatment approaches available which combine topical treatment options such as corticosteroid with a retinoid. Sometimes a topical steroid isn't the best treatment option for you. In that case, your healthcare provider may provide a topical non-steroidal treatment. Some of the ingredients used in these prescription non-steroidal topical treatments include anthralin.
Sounds good to me.
Anthralin. Okay, anthralin. Synthetic vitamin D3 and vitamin A. I wonder why synthetic vitamin D3.
I don't know, but the vitamin A is like with the retinol.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
These can be used to control psoriasis plaques. Phototherapy or light therapy is typically prescribed by a dermatologist. Phototherapy involves exposing the skin to ultraviolet light on a regular basis and under medical supervision. Treatments can be done in a healthcare provider's office or a psoriasis clinic or at home with a phototherapy unit. The key to success with light therapy is consistency. There are different types of phototherapy. There is ultraviolet light B, which is UVB. It's present in natural sunlight and is effective treatment for psoriasis. UVB penetrates the skin and slows the growth of affected skin cells. Treatment using UVB can include UVB phototherapy, excimer laser, or in-office or home UVB phototherapy.
Or you could hang out with our turtle.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. He has a UVB lamp.
Mm-hmm.
UVB phototherapy treatment involves exposing the skin to an artificial UVB light source for a set length of time on a regular schedule. This treatment is administered in a healthcare provider's office, clinic, or at home with a phototherapy unit. There are two types of UVB treatment, broadband and narrowband. There are three main differences between them. The narrowband UVB light bulbs increase a small range of ultraviolet light. Narrowband UVB may clear psoriasis faster and produce longer remissions. Narrowband UVB may require fewer treatments per week. I would say I'd want that one. UVB treatment is offered in different ways. And this can include small units for localized areas, such as the hands and feet, full body units, such as like a bed maybe,
wow,
or handheld units. And some UVB units used traditional UV lamps or bulbs. Others used LED bulbs.
And the, we're going to say eczema laser? Yeah. Is approved by the Food and Drug Administration for treating chronic localized psoriasis plaques. And it emits a high intensity beam of UVB. The eczema laser can target areas of the skin affected by mild to moderate psoriasis. And research indicates that it is particularly effective for treating scalp psoriasis, which I think is another thing that I've seen rather often or frequently. However, there is not yet enough long-term data to include how long improvements will last following the course of laser therapy.
Oh,
and
so
treating,
it's kind of new?
It's, I guess, yeah, not enough research has been done on it. And treating psoriasis with a home UVB phototherapy device can be an economical and convenient choice, but still, you know, like other phototherapies in a healthcare provider's office or clinic, it requires consistent treatment and maintaining that schedule, and you want to make sure you're doing it under medical direction. Individuals are treated initially at a medical facility, and then they bring, and then begin at home using a light unit. And I just completely butchered that sentence. It is critical when doing phototherapy at home to follow a healthcare provider's instructions and continue with regular checkups. All phototherapy treatments, including the purchase of equipment for home use, require a prescription from your healthcare provider.
Okay. And systemic treatments aimed at those with varying degrees of psoriasis and psoriatic disease severity are prescription drugs that work throughout the body. They are also used in those who are not responsive or unable to tolerate the topical treatments or phototherapy. And lastly, some patients report hands-on alternative therapies can help relieve their psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis symptoms. Integrative approaches to care, including physical therapy or acupuncture, are supposed to be helpful.
Well,
yes, sir.
I'm having a hard time reading this part. Is this condition painful?
Yes. It causes your skin. Picture sunburn. That's painful.
All right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it anything that affects your skin, you know, that's going to affect your skin like that is, it causes itchy, painful skin. Yes, it is painful.
And then when it's itchy, you want to scratch it. And then
and
if you scratch
it,
it can become infected and, you know, you have that whole thing. And if you're taking oral medications, you have to be careful because they're going to lower your body's ability to react to other illnesses. And I know they say like tuberculosis and even if you're getting vaccinations, you need to be under your healthcare provider's guidance for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've blasted you enough with too many facts from the Mayo Clinic already, but... Mm-hmm. We found that there are triggers that may make a patient more likely to have an attack or flare-up.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, avoid these.
Yeah, many people who are predisposed to psoriasis may be free of symptoms for years until the disease is triggered by some environmental factor. And common psoriasis triggers may include infections, such as strep throat or skin infections, which we mentioned earlier. The weather, especially cold weather or dry conditions, an injury to the skin, such as a cut or a scrape or a bug bite, or as Lita just mentioned, a severe sunburn, stress, which I don't think many people have.
Oh, I was going to say, you could just go ahead and eliminate stress.
Yeah, eliminate stress.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot. Smoking and
wow.
Exposure to secondhand smoke can do this. Heavy alcohol consumption. And also certain medications, including lithium, high blood pressure medication, and anti-malarial drugs.
Oh, okay.
Then rapid withdrawal of oral or systemic corticosteroids can also trigger this.
Oh,
okay.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Not many of those can we avoid.
No.
So ignore the fact that I said avoid these things because mm-hmm. it might be hard to avoid.
Yeah.
Well, even though it sounds like a lot, I think it's good information to have if a person wants to try to avoid a flare.
True enough.
Another question. How common is psoriasis?
Fortunately, not that common.
Good.
Only 3% of Americans have psoriasis, so only about 6.5 million.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah. Small percentage, lots of people.
Yeah, and for them, it's also very important.
So. Oh, right. Of course. And it's important, yeah, to us too. And also, yeah, just to know it's, you know, it's not like it's something contagious and it's, you know.
That's good to know because, you know, when you see somebody with any kind of a skin condition, you think, oh my God, I don't want to catch that.
Right, you tend to stay away.
I think the only one, like chicken pox, measles, mumps, rubella.
Okay.
Well, it's a little bit different, but.
Okay. COVID. The plague.
Yeah.
Those are things, I don't want to, But yeah, psoriasis, fine. Are there any studies going on right now to try and find a cure? Because that would be great.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a recent study found that the gene, it's called...
Me?
No, not you,
Gene. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was going to say, I have nothing to do with this.
A gene called GRHL3, which helps grow skin before birth, also helps your body heal psoriasis lesions.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Researchers are now studying whether people with psoriasis have a genetic change that weakens the GRHL3's effects and if there's a way to boost its healing powers. Scientists have also found a protein called RAC1.
Okay.
RAC1.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which goes to work when your skin is damaged, like from a cut or a scrape.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It also switches on during an infection like strep throat, for example. Both can trigger psoriasis, which we mentioned earlier, if your genes make you more likely to get it. Doctors think that, quote unquote, turning off this RAC1 could help fight flare-ups.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And this could lead to treatments that are easier on your immune system than today's biologic drugs.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Research is good.
Yeah, research is good. It's always in the works.
Mm-hmm.
What role can friends and family play in assisting someone living with psoriasis?
Well, lots of people living with psoriasis, they start to pull back from life. They isolate themselves. If you can try to intervene, encourage your loved one to stay connected with family and friends and do the things that they enjoy, but do it gently.
Yeah, and that's great advice for everyone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they say no once, keep inviting them out.
Yeah,
don't
just stop.
Right.
Well, another question. How can our listeners out there find out more about psoriasis?
Well, I'm going to put more on our website. I'm going to put links on our website. And there will be a whole page dedicated to psoriasis.
Okay. Well, I think that wraps it up for us today.
And thank you for listening. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or even Instagram.
And
if you have
TikTok.
A moment to spare. Oh, and TikTok.
And now we're on TikTok.
Dominic has us on TikTok.
Watch out, everybody.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I heard from someone yesterday that they loved one of our TikTok episodes.
So we've got baby boomers and Gen Xers
on
TikTok.
And Gen Y, Gen Z, millennials.
No, I'm talking us.
Oh,
doing TikTok.
Yeah. I don't know if you're both considered Gen Xers.
What am I?
You're a boomer.
Yeah, you're a boomer.
I'm a boomer?
I'm an Xer.
Oh, you're an Xer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think boomers ended like 64, 65.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm just old. I don't understand
well, that's
the TikTok.
What I'm saying.
I don't even spell it correctly.
Three old people here doing TikTok.
Yes. Well, no, we have one young person in the other room doing TikTok
for us. Thank God for him.
Yep. Yes. And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast. And I, for some reason, I want to watch the movie Goonies.
Oh, okay. Well, until next week.